Hello, and welcome to the S Words Podcast, a roundtable discussion about pop culture topics starting with the letter S. As you can tell by my terrible Hollywood voice, I'm not Kevin Chu. I am, in fact, Dominic. Kevin is in Las Vegas this week. And, yeah. So, anyway, we have three special guests here with us this time. Let's have them introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Jessica McConville.
I'm Ian McConville. I'll be playing the part of the uncultured slob of the group.
Oh, what am I going to do then? Hi, this is Danny Sudarakum, and, well, I kind of wish I were in Vegas right now, but that's neither here nor there.
So, what we're doing today is something that Kevin has promised that he would let us do, and the readers have been bugging us to do for a very long time.
No, you have to be a little more specific. What he promised was that it would never be done as long as he was around.
All right. So, what we have here is the Suzumiya Haruhi episode. Yay!
I don't speak moonspeak.
So, The Melancholy of Suzumiya Haruhi, let me say that right if it's in English. The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya is a series of light novels in Japan that got turned into a very popular anime back in 2006. It was also turned into a very popular series of four-panel gag manga, which is now being turned into YouTube shorts, I believe.
Brilliant.
Something this is about mixed drinks.
Sorry.
Drinks does not start with that, but I'll try to find a way.
So, let's start with the usual question. What was the first time you saw Haruhi?
The first time that I saw Haruhi was not too long after we moved to California. Dom came over with some DVDs in hand and made us watch them all in broadcast order as opposed to actual chronological order, so I had absolutely no idea what was going on. Later I went back and watched them in actual order, and it made a heck of a lot more sense.
No, it didn't.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, I think my first exposure to the, show really had nothing to do with Haruhi. I believe it was several Mega Man characters dancing to the music that I later found out was the title.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that animation. That was, yeah, that was a bit jarring if you hadn't actually seen any reference to it.
Well, first it was the Mega Man characters, then I saw some Pikachus, then I saw some various other people dancing to the song. It wasn't until Dom showed up with the DVDs that I even, they're parodying this.
Yeah.
And then you were equally confused as I was.
My first exposure to Haruhi was actually, if I remember correctly, it was just a random YouTube chain of thought. I ended up getting to the CNN episode 12 with the concert. And I remember watching while going, what is this? Why is she in a bunny outfit? Why does nobody seem to notice that she's in a bunny outfit? Nobody's actually commented on this yet. What the hell's going on here?
Well, what's going on there is that they're parodying a Japanese movie called Linda Linda, but that's beside the point.
Still. You figure somebody would comment.
Yeah, well, this is anime, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing that's surprising is that she's in a bunny suit and she's not jumping on missiles.
That's true, there's very little room for missiles in that series.
No, actually there was an episode with missiles in that series.
Hold on, cycling.
Day of Sagittarius with the,
with
the space game.
Club.
I mean, they had a mosaic Gundam there. Even when Ikimas, wait, watch the Beatdom.
Yeah,
Beatdom.
So anyway, so that's people's first exposure. So yeah, something that is very famous about the Haruhi series is that it aired out of order. It had a very disjointed fashion of, you know, starting with episode quote unquote zero, which chronologically was way later in the series. Then you saw episode one. Then you saw episode two. Then you saw episode like 7 or something like that, and jumped around. So what did you think of that?
I loved episode 0. It was a great introduction to the series for me, even though technically it wasn't exactly in order, but the narration was brilliant and left me laughing a lot. I liked all the comments on how, you know, in other movies the camera pans up at certain points and stuff. I thought it was brilliant.
Wait, we're panning up again?
Yeah. Ian? If you can't think of anything else to say, just quietly pan upwards. Well, having gone back and looking at episode 0, I'm actually a little angry at that, because they tell you so much about the story at the same time as filling your head with lies. And when you realize what is lies and what is truth, you get a little cross.
They don't tell you anything about the story in episode zero.
Except that the cat talks.
And the cat never talks again, because that's the only time the cat talks.
That's the only time you see the cat for an extended period of time.
They keep introducing the characters like, oh, this is so-and-so. She's actually an alien from such-and-such, you know, a space witch. You're like, wait, the alien part was actually true.
Incidentally, now would be a good time to point this out. Yeah, if there's anybody who's actually not seen any of Haruhi, there's a lot of stuff that's about to come up that's, well, gonna sound like a spoiler out of context.
Because it is a spoiler, because everything about that is a spoiler. The entirety of episode zero is a spoiler, really.
Yeah.
It's like, by the way, she can shoot beams from her eyes. Wait, she really can shoot beams? What?
Haruhi's been out for long enough that nothing should be a spoiler.
Be surprised.
Though.
Some people are very good at cloistering themselves. I don't know what it is, but you know, I'm guessing they're just trying to, just in case they get called for jury duty and just need to get called for that major high profile case.
I still haven't beat Persona 3 and I still don't want Dom to say a damn word about it.
I haven't. So anyway, let's see here. Yeah, being out of order, I thought it was brilliant after being angry, because I remember seeing it in broadcast order and going, oh man, I hate episode zero, but the narrator's so awesome. And then someone told me what the joke was. Like, oh yeah, for one thing, it's a parody of, you know, high school movies.
It's a high school quality film. Yeah.
It is a high school quality film. And then someone said, oh yeah, so just keep watching, don't worry about it, it'll make sense. And I went, okay, fine. And I went back to it after a little while and I went, oh, hey, you're right, it does make sense. And then I read the novel that is based on, which is, I think, the second novel.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, I hate this novel. I want to slap Harvey the entire time. And I went, maybe I should just watch the movie. Maybe watch episode zero again, you know, because I like it more. So, you know, it's a big in-joke. I mean, that's how the entire series was marketed at first. I mean, they barely said anything about it. I remember that the extent of the advertising campaign was, there were a bunch of Haruhis sticking out her tongue, like a bunch of images on the floor at various subway stations. And then there were some really cryptic web pages that had nothing to do with anything, unless you'd read the novels and then you knew what was going on. And, you know, that's pretty much all of Haruhi is this big in-joke a lot of the time, right?
Seem to be a big fan of cryptic advertising.
That's pretty much how it goes. I mean,
it's a legitimate strategy.
Yeah, viral marketing and whatnot.
Alright, speaking of that viral effect that it had, let's move on to the ending song dance, which I'm sure everybody who was around on the internet 2 or 3 years ago got more than enough of.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
So, Ian, you said that was your introduction to the series in general. Like, describe some of the stuff that you saw coming out that was just all of this dancing.
Well, it first started with, like, a link from a gaming news site. It's like, hey, check this out, Mega Man sprites, they're dancing.
Like, just no context.
They are indeed dancing. Should I be taking note of that? kind of catchy. And then Pikachus were dancing, I think, was the second one I saw. Really well animated.
I remember, was it until the DVD release that they actually showed a full version of that?
It took until the DVD release for them to do a full version of the dance.
I don't know how much it cost, but I get the feeling they could have actually just charged any really arbitrary value and people would have bought it in order to actually have, like, the full version of that. Because
right.
I remember people going through that, like, it was a Bruder tapes and just, you know, analyzing every single frame, every single motion, and trying to see if they caught something that the other throngs of dance aficionados hadn't noticed yet.
Yeah, I can't do the dance, but every time I see the ending, I kind of wish that I would pay more attention and do it, and then I get distracted by a shiny object, and I forget that I want to do it until I see the ending again.
How long after that DVD came out were there people in the streets doing that?
Well, there were people in the streets doing that before the full DVD came out.
Yeah, they had to improvise in parts in the middle that didn't actually have dances.
But, I mean, it was a...
20 Minutes of the Monkey.
Well, actually, that came with Overman King Gainer. I should show you the opening song to that sometime.
And Kamen Rider.
Kamen Rider did it too?
Zenmo.
They did the monkey?
Yeah.
Huh.
It's in the opening.
Alright. So yeah, so this is something called Otage, which literally means, is short for Otaku Arts. And so Haruhi was the most famous version of it for a while until, you know, Lucky Star, or before that, Magi Ranger. Where they give otaku something to do, basically, where they try to teach otaku a dance. I mean, you saw that with Idolmaster with the Go My Way dance when that came out.
Dom, you know that one.
I don't actually know that dance, All I do
I know all the penalties involved.
Yeah, I know all the penalties involved.
Oh, yeah.
Because those are all, you know, football referee hand motions.
So it's like nerd homework?
It's basically like nerd homework. It's like, hey kids, do this at home. It started with kids' shows, right?
I figured it extended from the, it was one of the rhythm games. I've forgotten the name of it. When you just had hand sensors.
Hand sensors? Oh, para Paradise?
Yeah, para. I remember it started from there, because, you know, the hand sensor system for that game, depressingly lenient. You can pretty much just have two people, one holding their hands on the top, one holding their hands on the bottom, and clear every song. The entire point of it is to match the exact sequence, which apparently has been scripted for you, but they never show on the arcade machine itself.
Well, yeah, of course, you have to know it, because if you don't know it, you're not cool enough.
Yeah, it's like this...
It's as if Samba de Amigo or the S-Dance Revolution had scripted dances, they just didn't show you, and you had to go on the internet and be cool enough to find out where they were.
But that was the entire point of Samba de Amigo. It was difficult enough that just doing it was actually pretty impressive to a point. And if you added anything else, well, that was actually you. And that was half the fun of it. And it didn't really mesh well with me, having this whole, like, hidden dent sequence involved.
But anyway.
I never actually played much about it.
So, this is something that, is sort of a facetious question. Do you know anybody who did the Haruhi dance, or has done anything like that, say?
Haven't you talked to anybody in our club in the last, like, 5 years?
Yeah, see, that's why it's facetious.
Okay, fine.
I'm pretty sure I saw you doing it, like, 3 a.m. And by the way, those boxers, very catchy.
Yeah, I know. Actually, isn't that the risky business sequence I was doing with Tom Cruise and the sliding down and the underwear? No?
I really hope not.
Although, you know, come to think of it, isn't that some of the origin of, like, imitating dances that you see as a kid?
Well, I didn't think Tom Cruise was wearing a bra, though.
You got you there.
I was Batman.
I guess that's fair.
Anyway.
But, yeah, I mean.
Yeah, so CAA did it, right?
Yeah. The club actually all got together and dragged all of their officers, or at least five of them, to do this. And it was something between that and, oh, that's actually where, before there was Haruhi dance, there was Kodocha.
Wait, not before there was Kodocha, we did Fish Fight too, didn't we?
Well, no, I mean, just in terms of, like, having the image of live action people.
Oh, doing.
Going to various locales.
Oh, that's right, going to random
dance in
semi-public positions.
And recording it and then running away.
Ninja dancing?
Yeah.
Apparently, after we graduated from college, one of my friends who was in the college anime club, they got together and did that at random places around the campus. I can only assume that it was absolutely horrible, though, because if you had seen the people in my anime club, you would realize how rhythmically challenged that they are.
We used to have an arcade near our club, so, you know, we actually had some people who had some modicum of rhythm. I mean, there was an entire year of officers who had basically grew up on DDR. So they at least had a little bit of coordination there, and they're actually willing to practice.
They were willing to practice. Like I said, they did Fish Fight.
Yeah, I have no idea what possessed them to do that.
If you're wondering what Fish Fight is, you should go on YouTube and just look up Fish Fight, and then stare straight ahead as a large group of Japanese comedians dressed in shiny silver and blue with fish head hats sings about fish.
And
we did that.
You haven't shown me this yet?
I haven't shown you a lot of things about my college years yet.
We, yeah.
So let's move that over, and we'll say things like, actually, we've seen the live and quote-unquote official Haruhi dance before. I mean, there was a year at Anime Expo
where they
brought the three actresses who played the Haruhi girls and had them lip-sync the words to the song and then do the dance. I didn't actually see it myself, but I hear that it's living forever on YouTube.
I did watch it on YouTube before the podcast. It was interesting.
And by interesting, you really mean?
Not very good.
There you go.
I'd say something disparaging about it, but then again, I know enough people who have watched live-action Sakura Taisen, which is actually singing terrifying in its own way.
Well, not only just its singing, but didn't Mike say that these are the kind of people who go to the same show every day? On the first day, they sit
they
there
watch.
And they
the second
first,
day,
yeah,
they sing.
The first day they watch, the second day they sing, the third day they've learned all the dances already. Something like that, right?
Yeah.
And so this is the kind of thing that goes into these dances.
This is what the Japanese economy runs on.
This is what their prime minister said that they need to export more of.
Merch?
Yeah, pretty much. It's their exercising. It's their quote-unquote soft power of culture, exporting culture. And by exporting culture, I mean these kind of dances. I mean, you've seen a bunch of people do the Lucky Star dance too, right? Also in like Mega Man sprite form or stop motion big Gundam form or whatever, right?
That's for another show.
I've had a bunch of webcomics done that too with that dance. I know VGCast did it at one point.
VGCast did it? Really?
Huh? Maybe they just linked to something.
It's complicated enough that it's immediately recognizable and it's simple enough that any old dork can try it. So, I mean, like the hardest motion I think in the entire sequence is the very end. I mean, you have to jump and throw your hands out. But, you know, everything else people can at least emulate without any difficulty.
So, here's my question to you guys, is that do you want to see more of that kind of thing? Or do you want to see less of that kind of thing? Because of the success of that dance, we've been seeing more and more of it popping up everywhere. So, what are your opinions on it?
I would happily like to see more of it, but at the same time, I don't want to see it because that'll just make me want to do the dances more, and that would just be a colossal failure.
I'm not so sure I want to see more, but I would like to see more Full Metal Panic Fumafu instead. That didn't have any dances, and it was wonderful.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with less. Much, much, much less.
As a random note, for those of you who don't know, Full Metal Panic is also animated by the same people as Haruhi, Kyoto Animation. We're currently doing K-On, a show about a high school girl band. Yeah, you couldn't tell that they've always wanted to animate a show about a band.
Yeah, I guess there's that. But yeah, I mean, like, at this point, any attempts to bring out more of the main characters dancing is just going to be a brazen attempt to go viral again. It doesn't sit well with me.
Well, yeah, especially since that's what a lot of these things have been, right? I mean, a lot of the dances before or since, right?
I don't know, like, the primary reason I liked it was because it was something different, something just out of left field. Once you get thrown 7 or 8 balls out from left field, you're starting to look in that direction. It's just not the same.
With viral advertising comes a quick immunity to it. You have to change up your attack.
You guys definitely hang out with different people than me because prior to this, I was trying to talk to people about Haruhi Suzumiya, and they're like, what? What are you talking about? Even people that have watched a lot of anime. Absolutely no idea.
About the dancing, or about Suzumiya Haruhi in general?
Suzumiya Haruhi in general.
I guess there really is just no middle ground.
The thing is that it didn't sell very well in the United States. I mean, I think the PS2 game there sold like 180,000 copies in the first weekend, and I don't think the DVD sales here hit that.
Wow. That makes sense. Then again, I don't really follow that much in terms of how, like, the DVD sales and market, just because, well, it's really depressing if you look into the numbers for it. Like, just for example, just compare the average, pirated YouTube video. The number of hits on that, compared to the DVD sales for the exact same content, and it's just...
Alright, and with that, we'll take a little break after these messages. Also, we will start talking after the break about what we actually like about Haruhi and what we don't like. After this. Next time on a very special episode of the S-Words. I'm bored!
Me too!
Hey, what are these pictures on Dad's computer? The S-Words will never be the same. Alright, we're back. So, let's start talking about what you actually liked about Haruhi, because we've talked about a lot of the fandom of it and all of the things around it, but what about the actual show itself did you like?
I liked the character development, and I really, really, really liked the narration.
So you like Kyon, basically.
I love Kyon.
Which makes sense, because this is a novel series, and the novels are all narrated by Kyon, so it was pretty good of them to keep the voice intact.
Kozumi?
Koizumi? Because
for obvious reasons.
Because you almost humped Johnny Young Buck.
I did not!
You wanted to be alone in an elevator with him for like an hour.
And it did not occur, therefore I did not almost hump him.
You would have, though. If it had been you and Johnny Young Buck in the elevator, you would have totally hit the emergency stop and ripped out the phone.
I clearly would have fainted first.
Ian, your thoughts?
About what? My wife boning a voice actor, or,
Wait, how would she bone him? But there's so many parts that...
She'd find a way.
Alright. Okay, going back to Haruhi,
actually.
Well, I think Kion was also my favorite part of the show. I've always been amused by the straight man in an awkward situation. the guy who's just not fazed by anything, and it's just... I don't know, it's just a funny situation for me.
Yeah, that's what drew me in with episode zero, was the fact that there's this guy behind the camera constantly commenting on how little sense everything in front of the camera makes.
When I saw the first episode, episode zero, I actually didn't realize till the end that the cameraman was actually the one that was narrating. I'm just oblivious.
I think another example of such humor would be like Agent K from the Men in Black stuff.
Yeah.
Tommy Lee Jones?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, that's the thing. For all of my colorful opinions about what some of the fandom is willing to do, I actually really liked the series. It was fun. It was a fun ride for 13 episodes. And it was just, I got into that, got into the books, and ended up ordering all of the books, and still waiting for book 10.
Yeah, a lot of people were waiting for book 10.
And, yeah, it was fun. I mean, it was something I hadn't seen before.
Well, that means you'd never watched The Twilight Zone, did you?
Oh no, I watched piles of The Twilight Zone, I just clearly needed to watch more.
Oh, okay. Because for those of you who are unaware, that whole concept where someone's mind can just warp reality comes from, well, it's most famous from The Twilight Zone.
But yeah, I remember stories like that, and this is the first time I've ever actually seen it, you know, put to something that wasn't horror.
That's true. It's comedy with the occasional hint that it might turn into horror.
Which, you know, is kind of a microcosm of the way life works.
Yes, tragedy. Comedy minus distance.
Well, episode 6, that one actually had a pretty good creepy quality.
Yeah. Oh, the one where they're actually in the empty world and everything's gray and she's incredibly excited by the fact that there's no one around and perhaps she's going to destroy the world.
You just had some fog in there and some static noise in the end.
I was going to say, it was...
Bringing us into the survival horror genre.
As soon as you mentioned fog, it suddenly occurred to me, oh, wait. Yeah. Damn.
Yeah, I don't play those games. I go running from the room whenever they turn on.
Except for the Resident Evils, because those are the least scary games in the world.
I disagree. Zombie dogs and...
Ew. The zombie dogs were kind of jarring. Everything else, though, was, you know, just shooters.
So, yeah, what I liked about the series is the humor of it. It's the fact that you have someone who's, even when he's actually fazed by something, won't admit it, and will just keep on talking like normal. That's the quality that drove me to the books over the anime a lot of that at the beginning, and then put me back into the anime after I'd finished most of the books. It was after I finished book 2 and I really wanted to slap Haruhi as hard as I could, because she is a monster in book 2. Anyway, so yeah, I started watching it again. It's like, hey, I really like the fact that there's all this stupid stuff going on, and there's someone out there who will say to your face, you know, this is really stupid. I mean, it goes through so many anime cliches, and then goes, really, this is stupid.
But that's how it is. And there's actually, he understands that that's just how the world works, and, well, there's a very specific reason that's the way the world works.
I mean, one of my favorite things about Haruhi is all of the satellite stuff, not the show itself, but, you know, like, all the creativity that went out around it, because it's just this really fertile ground for really stupid stories, and really self-referential ones. I mean, my favorite comic of Haruhi of all time that isn't official, it's that scene where she's saying to the class that she only wants to meet people from the future, she only wants to meet aliens, she wants to meet espers. And then anybody else, you know, she doesn't care about. And then she turns around and it's Future Trunks, and it's Cell, and it's that little tiny guy who's an esper, the one who hangs out with Tenshinhan?
Yeah. Actually, it might have been Tenshinhan.
Was it Tenshinhan? Oh, is he an esper? No, it's that little thing. What was it? Chaozu.
Chaozu. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And so she turns around and she goes, oh. And, you just realize, like, oh yeah, that's right. This is really cliche. And it's so cliche that it's Dragon Ball.
But yeah, I really like the theme of just the little random details. I'm a big fan of when they're willing to put these details into their work. Things like the fact that you never learn Kyon's real name.
There's several people that you never learn the real name of.
You never learn the name of his sister. They just call her the little sister.
Kyon's sister, specifically. And the computer club guy.
Yeah, the computer club guy. Well, they specifically...
call him the computer club president.
Oh, it's you.
Yeah, but, like, the... And the fact, like, just the little things, like the fact that Nagato never refers to Kyon by name. Ever. And, you know, you get to... And you just get the impression, yeah, she knows. She just isn't gonna say.
I approve of any series that has generated by far the best noise for crying I've ever heard.
Me!
Exactly. What?
So, this is a good segue, actually, is that part of the satellite stuff that's come up around Suzumiya Haruhi includes Melancholy of Suzumiya Haruhi-chan, which is based on these little shorts that run every month in Shonen Ace magazine. And they're four-panel comedy shorts based around the Haruhi universe. And they were popular enough that they've been animated and put on YouTube. And in fact, they're subtitled by Kadokawa, officially. They're not very well subtitled, but they're subtitled. And, you know, it's a lot of comedy. Let's say, for a random example, like the scenes where Asakura is trying to kill him.
Yeah.
The way that they deal with that in the joke manga is that that right when she's coming to kill Kyon, Yuki opens the door and Asakura smacks her head on the door. It's like, oh, there you go.
Okay.
And then Asakura comes back as this little tiny, like, 2 foot tall? No, less than that.
Like the size of a basketball.
Yeah, and she gets adopted by Yuki as basically a cat, right?
No, she treats her as a baby for a while. She's trying to put her into strollers and little baby holders and lots of little costumes.
I may have to look into this.
It's hilarious.
It is hilarious. And, you know, whenever Mikuru doesn't understand whatever's going on, she'll just say, you know what, I don't understand what's going on. I'm going to go off and pet the lion. Yosh, 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 yosh.
I saw an entire episode where she's made to watch the SOS Brigade quiz show, I think it is. And while Kyon is screaming in the background, it's just nothing but her petting and feeding this lion. And it's absolutely adorable. I don't even care what's happening to Kyon.
They also had the episode where it's her and Yuki having a cosplay contest, essentially.
One-upmanship, yeah.
It ends, well, I think with that, what's that one singer that always has the dresses that are just basically stage performances?
Oh yeah, the one at Kohaku who does it every year, Kobayashi Sachiko.
Yeah, they essentially have that as like the finale, and it's just, yeah.
And don't forget the fact that it ends in like Godzilla costumes.
Okay, fine.
It's pretty brilliant.
You need to watch them.
You do need to watch them.
I'll look into
it. It's really easy, you just look for Kadokawa anime, or just look for Haruhi-chan on YouTube, and you can find, well, you can find most of them. They're taking them down slowly, but they're putting them up pretty steadily, too.
Okay.
There's, like, what, 8 of them right now?
20. They're up to 20. Remember, they're short. They last, like, 5 minutes.
I missed a lot of them before they got taken down.
Yeah, I've only seen 8 of them.
I'm sure they'll be put on DVD eventually, and I'll totally be getting those. Okay. So, let's go back to the main series itself. You may not be aware of this, but for the past 3 years, they've been trying to do guerrilla marketing about a second season of Suzumiya Haruhi. And it's never happened. Like, they put in an ad in Newtype once. They had a website that was put up.
Didn't they have a countdown?
Taken down. They had a countdown on it. Like, and now there's news that they're rebroadcasting the Haruhi seasons, but they are doing it in such a way that people are thinking that they'll try and sneak the second season into there. Because, according to some reports, quote-unquote, there are going to be 28 episodes. But here's the real question. Do you care at this point? Because after 3 years of being teased, there's a point at which you say, you know what, Duke Nukem, I'm done.
I absolutely care. I remember when you linked me to the 404 page, and I'm like, Dom, this page doesn't work, it's a 404. And then it kind of clicked, and you had to know, you know, what to enter into the blanks to get to anything. I thought it was brilliant. And honestly, there's so many animes out there that just aren't very good that I'll wait for forever for season two.
I'm a very patient man. Someday the DVDs will appear in my house and I'll watch them. I don't know how they appear or what magical fairies lock them into the window.
And by magical fairies, you mean Amazon Japan?
Yeah, it works.
I'd like to say that I'm burned out, but I'm just going to have to be honest with myself. As soon as it comes out, I'm so there.
Definitely.
Because, well, the first season was fun. It was definitely worth sitting through and watching. And, well, that's all I really ask. That's all I really should ask for in a series, is that it's enjoyable enough to want to watch more once it comes out.
Even if it's terrible, we'll still have fun talking about how terrible it was compared to the first season. So either way, it'll be fun.
I mean, we had fun talking about how bad the Street Fighter movie was, so I don't know if that means anything.
Yeah.
Well, that just brings me back to Code Geass.
I love Code Geass!
But that's the thing. That's all I ever heard you talk about, Dom, was just how terrible the second season was.
It wasn't terrible.
The second season.
Yeah, this is all like second and third hand information.
I didn't say that it was, okay, I did say it was terrible, never mind.
Yeah, sharks. I do believe you mentioned
sharks and trampolines.
Well, good job. You introduced a cold front to a warm front.
I would come downstairs and try and talk about the new second season Code Geass episode to Dom, and he would just make boinging noises as the plot jumped over sharks.
Well, it did.
Well, no, that's the thing.
Which made it awesome.
I watched through it, and, you know, it wasn't, I'm not sure you'd use the phrase shark trampolines for it. It wasn't that.
How many times did you say, oh snap, per episode? Because that was perfect for
this
it.
Is Danny. He doesn't say, oh snap.
There may have been some cursing involved, I'll admit. But, yeah, that was the whole thing. I got into it pretty late into it. And I actually, from what I remember, the point when I was catching up to it was right before they released the finale. And right before they released the finale is a really bad place to be.
Rocket King!
It was just...
Rocket Emperor.
Yeah.
That, by the way, is really depressing if you've been paying any attention to me and my crypt proclivities for listening to Wakamoto no Audio. Just
I will be making Lelouch's hat into a cake one day.
Alright, no. We're off topic. Let's get back
to the we're off topic. This is us we're talking about.
I know, but we're trying to bring it back a little bit here.
I once had a kitty cat. A pretty kitty.
What?
Said off topic and now he's gone.
Oh, it's terrible.
Where are you, Kevin?
In Vegas.
Oh yeah, right. The reason why we could do this in the first place.
Kevin would bring us even further afield. What are you talking about?
That's true. He wouldn't have put us on here in the first place.
Well, yeah, he wouldn't have talked about Suzumiya Haruki because he doesn't like it.
Yeah.
So, let's just talk about a few things before we wrap up. Merchandise. I know that you own some of the merchandise, right?
If I had more money, I would own all of the merchandise, because I am that kind of person. If it's a very well-painted figure with good movement...
I thought you were going to say a good ass.
Well, I do like the toys that you can take the clothes off of. I think I own more of them than you do.
Functionality.
Yeah. But I really, really like the figures. They definitely... They're printing money. They're printing money in those.
Although the funny thing is that it seems like... in certain cases, that they're running out of ways to print money until they make a second season, because I don't know if you knew this, but there was a Wii game that they put out for Suzumiya Haruhi. It's like a Wii dance game kind of thing, with little stupid mini-games, blah blah blah. It sold 8,000 copies in its first week.
Wow.
Oh, why don't I have it?
Because you didn't know about it, and it's Japanese only, probably. It sold 8,000 copies, though, and it's a Wii game. Well, then again, it's a Wii game for nerds in Japan, as opposed to a Wii game for everybody in Japan.
Really? Do they have the same sort of market penetration in Japan as they do here?
Oh, yeah.
That's true. The nerd box in Japan is D60. Forgotten.
Yes, it is.
Well, I'm glad that they're running out of ideas for toys, because I still haven't gotten, like, 3/4 of them yet. So the less toys they have out, the better I feel.
I don't see any swords, claymores, or anything like that, so I'm not interested.
Well, there is the PSP game. Wow. No. Okay.
Not good enough.
So for people who don't know, which one's the PSP game? Is that the one where they make an RPG? That's the PS2 game, right?
PS2? Oh, sorry.
Yeah. It was PS2, where they make an RPG, and they keep having to remake the RPG until Haruhi likes it. So there's Super Robot Wars is one of them, and then Dragon Quest IV, Dragon Quest in general. I can't remember the other one. But, you know, it's basically the series' best attempt at a video game, where you have to make a video game, and then you have to play the video game, and then you go, oh man, this sucks. Yeah. Let's do it over again.
Man, poor developers. Probably had to make like 6 games.
I think they did make 6 games, come to think of it. Yeah, they made a Final Fantasy type, they made a Dragon Quest type, and they made a Super Robot Wars type. I forget what else. I'd have to do more research into the game, which I never bought.
Yeah.
That seems like something I would enjoy, though, because I get bored with a game type very, very, very easily. So if one game bounces between game types, that might just do it for me.
Meanwhile, I only own one Haruhi toy, right? Yeah, I do. It's that little Kyon Figma, where he comes with a camera and his other...
the one that's always placed at strategic locations on the shelf there?
So people who don't know about this, the Figmas are very poseable. And the Kyon, because he's the cameraman, comes with a camera, a handy cam. He also comes with his left hand clutching something. And so it's very easy to lie him down with his left hand clutching something and the camera pointing straight up at other figures, which are twice his size.
I have lots of figures in skirts.
My spare hobbies, whenever I'm bored, I'll take the Kyon and just put him in different positions under a new figure with a short skirt.
Or you take Lelouch's head off and put it somewhere else.
Yeah, I steal Lelouch's head. It's true. So anyway, Haruhi.
We're terrible people.
We've known this for a long time.
But I figured this public should know.
Let's wrap up. I mean, we've talked about what you like about Haruhi. What do you want out of, say, a theoretical Vaporware second season?
I kind of want exactly the same thing. Just super random stories and Kyon getting dragged into everything.
How about a 6-foot man in a trench coat and a pony hat?
Going back to the Fumafu,
Actually, yeah, I would back this plan as well. Me? I remember now. Tanabata? 3 years ago?
Oh, you want the time travel arc? Which one of them, by the way? Because you'd have to go back there multiple times in the books.
I just want them to address it at some point. I really hope this doesn't become the great unspoken. Because that'd just be depressing for me.
For those of you who are unaware, because you haven't read the novels or read summaries of the novels, there are at least 2 occasions on which Kyon has to go into the past to 3 years ago when Haruhi awakened or something like that.
Specific moment was when she was in junior high.
And when she wrote a message to aliens.
In the field.
And one time he has to help her, I think, directly, as under the name John Smith, which she never figures out because she's dumb. And then the second time, I forget what he has to do there, but...
It's complicated.
Because it's a time travel story. So you want them to do time travel?
I want them to finish what they started.
That's never going to happen. I mean, the books went on hiatus for a while because they didn't finish what they started.
No, not even that. I mean, like, I'm okay with them throwing in new threads because that's what they do. They love throwing in random threads. That was part of the reason for showing the show randomly, is to get people used to the idea. I mean, they still haven't mentioned about half the stuff that was in that room.
They haven't mentioned, like, anything that happened in the movie either, but I'm glad of that because I wouldn't want to watch that. I would want a slapper. Alright.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you do want more then. That's good.
Well, I told you.
That was the S-Word podcast on Suzumiya Haruhi. You can reach us online at www.s-words-podcast.com. You can also find me, Dom Nguyen, on Twitter at twitter.com/s_words. And if you want to find us on iTunes, we would appreciate some reviews. We also appreciate 5. Usually at this time, we do the quote sound-off, but the quote sound-off in this case would be in Japanese, wouldn't it?
In all likelihood.
Let's just do it anyway. Danny?
Ikimasu! Mori!
Beedom Hashin!
Adventure, right? Right? Me!
You made her cry! Get out! Faster! More intensity! Alright, we're back. Let's start talking about...
Sorry!